The rest of us will be in our series, One Another. I'm excited about that. And so as the kids are being dismissed, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll get right into it this morning. Whenever you find your place in Ephesians chapter 4, if you wouldn't mind to stand as we read our passage this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to pull this up so I can do a cool slideshow. We're going to start our reading this morning in verse 25. Verse 25. Paul says this: "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And then go ahead and read that last verse. This is the patch verse. Mila and Kara both can quote this verse. It's crazy. Pretty exciting. So let's read that together, and then we'll pray and get into our lesson. Are you ready? "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Every kid I've ever heard quote that goes, tender. Well, first of all, Milo was like, "And be ye kind one to another." What'd she say? Protect your heart. Is it a tender heart? Protect your heart. I was like, no. But they always say, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I don't know why that is. It's just natural. I was waiting for that. But we're adults here. We just read it. Amen? But it's not just a kid's verse. In fact, it was directed primarily to adults and primarily to church members as we endeavor to help one another serve the Lord. So let's pray, and we'll get into our lesson today, which is part two of Be Kind to One Another. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, for the clarity of it. Thank you for our kids. It's a blessing to see them serving you, singing for your glory. And I pray that you bless them even now as they're getting ready to open the word in their class and learn from you. I pray that you help them to have hearts that are open, ears that are open, ready to hear. Help the teachers as they teach. And then, God, I pray that you be with us as we consider this great truth of the importance of being kind always. Help us with that. We love you. Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So this is part two. Forgot to ask if anyone needs a lesson. So does everyone have a lesson? If you don't have one, you can slip your hands. It's the same from last week. We have some empty clipboards back there if you want to use those. If you have a new lesson this morning, we're going to quickly go through the blanks just by way of review. And so if you try to keep up, we'll help you get there. This is part two of this lesson. There's just no way I'm ever going to make it to one of these in 1 week. So just, it is what it is, okay? All right, just have to be patient with me that way. So we're talking again about what it means to be kind one to another. And in this passage, it's pretty obvious that the hindrance of kindness, the conflict, number one is the conflict, if you don't have that blank, the conflict of kindness primarily is the conflict of anger. And that's the first blank there, conflict, the second blank there, letter A, the conflict of anger. And if you're angry with somebody and you can't overcome it, you can't learn to forgive that and do away with the anger, then what it's going to do, it's going to make it to where you can't be truly kind. And you can try to say kind words to people, but if you're angry with them, they feel the anger. I think we have a quote in here. Where is that at? Where it said, kindness is a language that the blind can see and the deaf can hear. I would contend so is anger. And it doesn't really matter what you're saying. The way you say it, it matters. And if you are angry, it's going to hinder your ability to truly be kind. And so anger does that to you. The second is this, corruption of testimony. If you're angry with somebody, and if you're an angry person and you can't, if you're someone who is harboring bitterness or resentment, an unforgiving spirit, then what it's going to do, it's going to hinder your testimony to others. It's just incredible. I'm not smart enough to do this. But last week we talked about anger and how that's the absence of love, didn't we? And so the Sunday school last week and the Sunday morning message just dovetailed together. And this idea of holding on anger and bitterness, it's what it does is it causes you to be critical, doesn't it? It causes you to criticize other people, and that's dangerous. And when you live a life that is critical by nature, if your demeanor is critical, if your demeanor is judgmental or condemnatory or harsh, then what that does is it makes it to where your testimony to others isn't there. And people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You should write that down. People don't care how much you know until they first know how much you care. And if they sense that you're just angry at them, you're looking down at them, you think they're a dirtbag in the negative sense. There's a positive sense to that one, isn't there? Helping us with that. But anyways, if they feel like you feel that you are less, you are more than them, if they feel like they're less than you in their eyes, then they will not listen to you. And you might be right. And everything you tell them might be accurate. And they might need to see it. But if you have a terrible spirit when you're saying it, you're only hurting. In fact, what you're doing is you're discrediting the truth. If you tell people the truth in a critical and angry spirit, you're only discrediting the truth. And you're making them think that the truth looks like you. And what we'll find this morning is that is the blind leading the blind. And what we'll find this morning is it looks like this. Someone with a house beam in their eye trying to help somebody with a speck of wood in their eye. And it's silly. And it does nothing but discredit God and His Word when we have that attitude. And so it corrupts our testimony. Having an angry spirit does. And so we need to be very careful about that. And I think that's where we left off. I'm not for sure. Is that right? So all right, let's see how we do. So we talked about really what hinders kindness, and today we're going to talk about this, the communication of kindness. The communication of kindness. And so before we can communicate kindness truly, it's useful to first understand what in the world kindness even is. So if you look at verse 29 of our passage there in Ephesians 4, verse 29 says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And so edification is this. It's something every person needs, first of all. Everyone needs to be edified. And it's something that Christians who know how to walk with the Lord are in a position to give. We're actually commanded to give edification to each other. We need it, and we need to be able to give it, edification is. As Spurgeon said this, "No matter what good truths you have to teach, no one will thank you if you do not speak kindly." I'll read that again. I think it's, is that in our notes? It is. "No matter what good truths you have to teach, no one will thank you if you do not speak kindly." The word minister in verse 29 means this, to give of one's own accord, to bestow a gift, to supply. In a sense, literally it means to serve somebody. And when you serve somebody, you're putting aside what you think you need, and you're giving this person what they need. And the word grace refers to goodwill and loving kindness. Goodwill and loving kindness. And so what does kindness look like in our communication? Well, number one, letter A in our notes, it is not corrupt. It is not corrupt. Kind communication, first of all, is not corrupt. We read that in verse 29. When we hold unforgiveness in our heart, it almost always comes out of our mouth. And our text here refers to that. Whenever unforgiveness comes out of your mouth, when it makes its way to your words, our text calls that corrupt communication. Corrupt communication. The word corrupt means this: rotten, putrefied, unfit for use. And so what we speak in anger always turns out unpleasant. And our angry words can be cruel and harmful. It's important what you say. Your words do matter. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me is not true. It's not true. Sticks and stones will break your bones. You'll heal from that almost every time. Your bones will heal. When you speak to somebody and you hurt them and tear them down with your words, it takes a long time to heal from that. And it hurts way deeper, doesn't it? Your words do matter. And words do hurt you. And your words have a potential to hurt others. And so we need to be very careful the words that we say. They can be harmful. Mary is an example he gives. Mary had a tough day at school and started complaining about it. As soon as she got home, she moaned, "Nobody loves me. The whole school hates me. The whole world hates me." Does that sound familiar? Her brother hardly looked up as he replied, "Well, that's not true, Mary. Some people don't even know you." Yeah, that was helpful. Thanks, brother. So the words that we use do have a huge influence on the hearer. And corrupt words will tear people down, but kind words will build them up. This is the crux of it. Are your words tearing down, or are your words building up? Now, we do understand this, don't we? That sometimes to build up, we first have to tear some things down. But we're not tearing down just for the sake of demolition, right? Sometimes we have to confront problems so that they can be made right. But are you, in the end, is your heart's desire to tear them down and tear them up and destroy them, or are your words intended to, in the end, build them up? Proverbs 18:21 says this: "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so we need to be very careful about what we say, because it can be corrupt. The next is this. So if you're going to communicate kindness, first of all, it's not corrupt. You're not communicating to destroy. But next, it is edifying. So that's the blank letter B. It's not corrupt, but on the flip side, it is edifying. Our words should be good for others. And that's really, it's a really basic word, good. But honestly, as you're speaking, you should ask yourself this: is what I'm about to say right now, is it helpful? Right? We don't have to say everything on our mind. As we're speaking, we need to ask ourselves: is what I'm saying, is it helpful? It needs to be good for the hearer. It needs to be good for them. It needs to cause good in them. And so our words should be good for others, uplifting and encouraging. God instructs us to use our speech for edifying, which means to build up or to strengthen. So edification, then, is something every person needs, and we can all benefit from a kind word. Verse 29 tells us this: edifying speech will, remember we said this, minister grace unto the hearers. And grace is an inner disposition that's created by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we can minister grace to others by our very words. Everyone has the grace of God, and we can amplify that and pull that out in their life and give grace that way through our very words. The best example of ministering grace in his speech was Christ himself. I think it's in our notes, verse Luke 4:22, "And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And they heard Jesus speak, and no one heard Jesus speak the way Jesus spoke. And the way he spoke, the words he said, were said in a gracious spirit, and they were shocked by that because that's not normal, right? It's not normal. And they were shocked at his words because they were gracious. And as Christ's disciples, we need to follow that, don't we? We need to follow that example and speak graciously to others. And so if we follow his example, we'll speak kind, wise, truthful, and encouraging words that will minister grace to others. The challenge for us comes in responding with edifying words when someone does something that would normally provoke anger, right? If someone's been good to you, it's like we said last week, if someone loves you, it's easy to love them, right? And if someone has done good to you, it's easy to speak kindly to them, it's easy to edify them, it's easy to build them up because you're building them up because of what they did, right? And so you have material here to work with, and we find it easy to do that and to build up those who are good to us. The challenge comes whenever someone is doing something that in the world's eyes would provoke anger. When someone doesn't love us, Jesus said, or when someone hates you, or when someone despitefully uses you, on purpose uses you for their own gain, these are the times when it's hard for us to speak kindly. But I'll contend this, those are the times where it's most important that we speak kindly. And those are the times when we most exemplify the love of God, is when our enemies are in front of us and when we're communicating with those who, before we were saved, would make us angry, you see. In those instances, God instructs us to respond with edifying words rather than responding with anger. And that is the context of our passage, right? We're talking about being angry and sinning not. And when someone is doing something that angers us, the way we sin is by lashing out at them in anger. But when we get angry, what we ought to do is speak kindly to them and edify them. And listen, tell them what they need to hear, yes. But you make sure you tell them in a way they need to hear it as well. And I said this last week, but let's always be people who be sure not to offend people with how we say the truth. And if they're going to be offended, let it be that they'll be offended at the actual truth and not in the way that we presented it. There's never a place to be unkind. There's never a place to be harsh. There's never a place to blow people out of the water. If you tell someone the truth, and if you explain to them that what they're doing is wrong, and you do it with the nicest spirit, if they don't want to do right, they're going to be mad at you, but they need to hear it. But it's a delicate situation, isn't it? We'll talk about that this morning. But when someone has a speck in their eye, we need to get it out. You can't just, hey, they got a speck. Oh, well. You know, they're walking around like this, and you can't. No, but here's the other thing about that. Has you ever had something in your eye before? You don't want someone going up there and like, hey, let me help you. You know? I mean, you know, just get my fingers in there. No. It's delicate. You need it out. But you can't just have someone rush in there. And so we need to be, if someone's in sin, they need the speck removed. It's not loving to ignore it. We need to do what we can to help them get it out of their eye. But if we walk up there with a beam in our eye, we're not going to be able to see clearly to help them. You see? So we need to be very delicate with that and be careful. Because when someone's doing wrong, they don't want to hear that they're doing wrong, obviously. Nobody does. Who in here likes to be scolded? Nobody. It doesn't matter how nice you say it. If someone tells you you're wrong, it's not fun. And so we need to do our best to approach those things properly. We know the phrase, you know this phrase, I'm going to give somebody a piece of my mind. Not as a Christian. That's not how we talk. But if instead we gave them words of grace, imagine how things would go. What would happen if you went to your unfair boss after a rough day and just told him, thanks for everything you do? You know? What would that do to him? You think yelling at him is going to make him a better boss? But you go to him and thank him for all that he does around there, there's a good chance he's going to soften up a little bit. What would happen if, when you did not make the sports team, you went to the coach and offered if you can just help with the equipment or something like that? What would happen if you wrote a congratulatory letter to the one who got the promotion and that the one that you were hoping to get? What would happen if you wrote a thank you letter to the teacher who had to give you bad news about your child? That's a heavy one today. Parents don't know how to handle that. But if your teacher loves your kid enough to tell you they're doing wrong, maybe you should thank them instead of blowing them up. Yeah. Trying to minister grace to someone through our kind words goes against our natural selfish inclination, but God will surely reward us for choosing to obey and speak kindly. The Bible further tells us here in our passage here that when we speak unkind words, when we have an unkind spirit, when we're critical, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." We're called to be gracious, not grievous. Gracious, not grievous. When we are saved, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, who will never leave us. When you're saved, He comes and He lives in you. And whenever we harbor this anger and whenever we're unkind and mean-spirited, what it does is it grieves the Holy Spirit within us. Yeah. He'll never leave you, but you can sure grieve Him, you see. And when we speak unkind words, it not only hurts the person we're speaking to, but it does grieve the Holy Spirit. And so that's basically what Jesus meant last week and this week, that as we love our enemies, we, in the end, we're not really even loving them for them. We definitely don't love our enemies for our own gain. But in the end, we're not really loving them for their own gain. We're loving them because God wants us to love them. And whenever we refuse to love those who hate us, whenever we refuse to give grace to those bless those who curse us, whenever we refuse to do good to those who despitefully use us, whenever we refuse to be kind, we are grieving God in us. Why? Because He's kind and He's gracious to the unthankful and to the evil. And it grieves the Holy Spirit within us whenever we harbor a spirit like that. Yeah. And so verse 31 helps us with that. He gives us some specifics. It says this: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you." And so if you want to be someone who speaks kindly, then you're going to have to deal with the root of unkindness, which is these things: bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. A rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes become so angry, and in its fury will often bite itself, infusing itself with its own poison. And that's the way hate and resentment that we harbor works in our lives. It fills us with poison, and it's like the rattlesnake biting himself. And I said it last week, didn't I? That anger and bitterness, all of this is poison that we drink, hoping it hurts the one we're angry at. And we said this last week, didn't we? That whenever you allow someone to get you angry, you're either helping the one, if he really wanted to make you angry, then you're helping him. He's happy that you're angry. If that person you're angry at loves you and was only trying to help and you're angry at, then you're hurting someone who loves you. And so the only option is you're helping someone who hates you or you're hurting someone who loves you, and it does nothing for you. No, we don't like being angry, I hope. And it has really negative effects on our body and our thinking and our thought process. Anger doesn't help anything. Bitterness doesn't help anything. Malice doesn't help anything. We need to put those things aside if we want to serve the Lord the way He asks us to, if we want to minister grace the way God has ministered grace to us. Destructive attitudes only lead to grievous consequences. And if we are just another angry person in the office, how will our colleagues see any difference in us as than the others that are there in the office? Especially if you tell them you're a Christian and then you act just like them. Is our poor attitude preventing someone from desiring to come to know the Lord? Listen, if you have a terrible spirit, and then you tell everybody you're a Christian, here's what they don't want to be, a Christian. See? When we speak evil, speaking evil means to speak in a way that hurts somebody. Remember, evil means destructive. And so when we speak in a way to hurt somebody, not to help them, but to hurt them, when we do that, we grieve the Holy Spirit and we hurt others and we hurt our testimony. But if we communicate kindness through edifying words, we build up, we strengthen, and we encourage. And someone who is doing right, we can help them to stay on that path. Someone who is doing wrong, we give them their best chance of getting off that path and on the right path. If someone's doing wrong and you approach them with the right path and an angry spirit, all you're doing is just putting barriers in their way of getting right. And if what you desire is that person to be right with God, what you will not do is be cruel and harsh with them. No. And so we need to be careful about that. Number three, the characteristics of kindness. We're doing great, guys. We're doing so good. You might be able to drink 3 or 4 cups of coffee after this. Amen. Number three, the characteristics of kindness. Characteristics of kindness. So 31 tells us what it looks like to have a negative spirit and have an angry spirit. Verse 32 helps us to see what kindness looks like. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So again, the word kind in verse 32 means this. It means virtuous, benevolent, or mild. While the world expresses itself in anger, hate, and protest, that's our world's way, we as Christians ought to demonstrate kindness. And remember the context. This is someone you're angry with. This is someone who you feel is doing wrong. This is someone who you feel is not serving the Lord. This is someone who you feel maybe is even being wicked or evil. And our world's way to handle that is anger, hate, and protest. You watch any news channel you want. And I don't care if you found it on YouTube or not. What they do is they feed on anger and they get us angry because we like to be angry at others. Why? Because it makes us feel like we're better than them. And our world reacts to someone who's not doing right in anger, hate, and protest. But Christ tells us to respond instead in kindness, virtue, benevolent, mild. Yeah. And listen, if someone's doing wrong, they know they're doing wrong. Not all the time. You understand. But someone who you're ready to scream and protest at, you're not helping by going up to them and screaming at them how wrong they are. In fact, all you're doing is making them feel better about you not liking them. If someone comes up to me screaming and yelling, then here's how I feel about that. I'm glad that you don't agree with me. When I see protesters in the street, never one time have I seen a protest sign and thought, wow, thank you, I'm changing my mind. No, actually, I'm looking at the sign so I know who I don't agree with. Because your spirit is wrong, and I'm pretty sure your content's probably wrong too. How are we doing? Has anyone ever saw a protest sign and changed their mind? Anyone on planet Earth ever? No. But our world thinks that works. It doesn't work. All it does is discredit the truth, if that's what you're actually about. It discredits whatever you're doing. That kind of attitude does. Okay. Yeah. So we're called to be kind to those who are not doing right. So what does that look like? Number one is kindness is gentle. Letter A, kindness is gentle. 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Titus 3:2 says, to speak evil of no man. That means You never, ever use words that are intended to hurt somebody. If they're going to be hurt, it needs to be a temporary pain so that they can be helped. But we ought never to speak evil of any man, to be no brawlers, we're not out there ready to fight, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. Many people view gentleness as a sign of weakness, but on the contrary, gentleness does not demonstrate a lack of strength or toughness. In fact, it demonstrates strength to remain controlled regardless of how aggravated you are. When someone has clearly been wronged and they respond in kindness, that shows strength. You can generally know who's right by which one's yelling louder. If one man is yelling loud and the other man is calm and collected, the one who's calm and collected is probably right. Probably right. Because they don't feel they need to amplify their position. Their position's enough all by itself. And if you get in a yelling match with somebody, you're not helping the matter. If someone's yelling at you, just respond calm, collected, and that'll mean more than if you're able to yell louder than the other. We're called to kindness. We're called to be gentle. So look at 1 Peter 3:8. I think it's in our notes here, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. William Ward said this, I think that's here in our notes as well. Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you. That's what he said. Now, that's human nature, isn't it? It's human nature. That's not necessarily Christ's teaching, right? We ought not to only love those who are kind to us. But human nature is, if you really want to impact somebody, you're going to need to be kind to them. Are your relationships characterized by kindness? Do you give encouraging words to others? Because there are people around you who can greatly benefit from a kind word. And so why not be the instrument of God's kindness to them? You never know how your demonstration of kindness can make a big difference in someone's life. You never know. The next blank is this. That's the last one. Kindness is compassionate. Kindness is compassionate. Another way we demonstrate kindness is by having strong sympathy or compassion toward others. We see that again in verse 32 with the word tender-hearted. Remember, Mila? What did she say? Protect your heart. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted, which means having strong inward compassion, to be sympathetic. And so it's easy to be irritated at people. There's no virtue of being irritated with somebody, but it is Christ-like to be compassionate toward them, even those who do things you don't appreciate. Have you considered that the person who annoys you might be going through a tough time? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever looked past how angry you are to see, maybe consider what they're going through? That cranky colleague of yours might be having a difficult marriage at the moment. That unfriendly lady might have just received a negative diagnosis. Whatever problems people face, an encouraging word will definitely do more to uplift them than your criticism will. And by the way, oftentimes we think they're being rude to us because they're out to get us. And, you know, most of the time they're not even thinking about you. It's not all about you. And they might be being rude to you not because of who you are or anything against you. They might be going through something hard. And you just happen to be the one who's at the front of it. But we need to learn to look past our hurt and see how we can be a help to them. If you're a tender-hearted person, you do not have to be reminded of a need repeatedly before wanting to help. If you see a need and you see a way that you can help, you're going to be there if you can. You seek to care for others whenever you can. Compassion is expressed in caring action. It goes beyond merely feeling sympathetic and seeks to relieve the pain someone else is experiencing. And our emotions are no substitute for our actions. Just because we feel bad for them is not enough. We need to actually do something about that if we want to be compassionate. And be compassionate. Having compassion will not only cause us to show acts of kindness, but it will also lead us to forgive others and to give sacrificially. And when the indebted servant begged the king for mercy, the compassionate king was moved to forgive him. Remember we said that story last week. And the man owed him more than he can pay. And Matthew 18:27 said, and the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And he emotionally cared about this person and what they were going through, and then took action, didn't he? And he loosed him and he forgave him the debt. Likewise, the kindness of the persecuted Christian in Hebrews 10:34 motivated them to give their earthly possessions, knowing that they had a heavenly lasting possession awaiting them. Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. And so kindness is gentle, kindness is compassionate. And when we communicate it in our everyday lives, we reflect the love and sympathy of God. As Christians, let us be ministers of grace. Let us communicate kindness to those around us. So as we close, the solution to our anger that we see around us is simple. If we want to help others with their anger, here's what we need to do. Communicate kindness. And we need to show, we need to give an example of what it means to be hurt by others, but respond with kindness. And that's the way you're going to affect others. We could minister grace to others by speaking encouraging words or by showing compassion. The kindest person who ever walked on this earth was Jesus Christ. He healed the blind and the sick. He fed the hungry. He was wounded for our transgressions. Us who have broken every law he made as God, us who have violated him, us who use him for our own gain so often, He has been hurt and hurt and hurt by us and really received nothing from us but responded by dying for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He commended his love toward us and died for us while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the kindness and love he's bestowed on us. And the same Savior calls us to be kind to one another. Now I'll say this as we close. Being kind to someone, I think we made this point clear last week, and this is kind of the problem of having, you know, a split up into two. Being kind to someone is not just doing everything you can to make them feel good. Because that's a trap too, isn't it? And you maybe know that someone needs to hear something, or you maybe know that someone needs help in a certain way, and you know they're not going to like it. And so you can be tempted to say, well, I'm just going to be kind here. I'm just not going to say anything. We can't do that. We can't do that either. Kindness is this. Kindness is helping somebody. In the end, kindness is helping somebody. And we need to help somebody however that needs to happen. But even in that realm, even in those conversations that are difficult, even in those times, when you need to tell somebody that you... Tell somebody something that you know they don't want to hear. And even in those times, there is no place for harshness or being unkind or being cruel, being passive-aggressive. Give someone the cold shoulder. We need to be kind to all men, specifically our enemies. If you want to be a follower of God, then you will be kind and gracious to the unthankful and the evil, right? And so God showed that kind of love for us, and we ought to show that kind of love for others. And as we're considering this passage in Ephesians, and really as we're considering our series, one another, we need to be thinking this way about all men, but how much more the brethren? I think it's Peter who says things like that. And we need to consider one another and be kind one to another. And you know how it goes. The people that you love the most often are the ones that you treat the worst. You're around them the most. You don't think about them as much. We can't let that happen in our church family. We need to love one another. We need to be kind one to another. And there's going to be times where we need to confront each other for certain things, and we need to do it with kindness. We have to do it with kindness. If we want to help them, if we want to alienate them and push them aside, then be cruel. But if you want them to do right, if you have a heart for them to get on the right path, you see them on the wrong path, then you need to be kind to them. Sometimes that's hard because them being on the wrong path hurts you. But we need to learn to overcome our hurt. This isn't about you. If you love other people, it's not about you. We need to look past our hurt and see this person who's struggling in sin and have a desire for them to get on the right path. And if you truly want that for them, then there's no place for cruelty. There's no place for belittling. There's no place for shame unless it's necessary because of the sin. There's just a level of shame with that no matter what. But we're not going to manufacture shame. We're not going to spread their character over the internet or over to others. No, we're going to do what we can to be a blessing to them and give them the best chance to get on the right path. That's what we need to do, don't we? Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes your church family's not on the wrong path. And they're doing well. Do you know how to help them stay on the right path? Be kind to them. Encourage them. Say a kind word along the way. Say, hey, you know, I noticed that you're doing this. I just want to say, I'm thankful to God that you're doing this. Sometimes we are critical and we have negative spirits, we don't even think about it. And we say, oh man, you did that and you didn't really do it very good. And we're just talking, we're just word vomiting, you know, we're saying what's on our mind. But no, we need to be asking ourselves, is what I'm about to say, is it helpful? No, not is it not hurtful, not are there worse things I can say. Is what I'm saying going to be a help? And if not, just don't say it. Don't say it. Let's help each other. Let's be kind to one another. And let's be very careful about how we use our words because they do that. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for the grace, the compassion you have for us, even though we're so undeserving. We're thankful for your Son who came and died for us, even though we were yet sinners. And Lord, we know who we are. And Lord, if we're honest, we know we're not better than others. We try to make a case for ourselves and try to convince ourselves that way by denigrating others' character and tearing them down. But help us to see who we really are and what you've done for us. Help us to remember who we were before you found us. And then help us to do our best to be kind, to be helpful, and give our life to giving others in our life the best chance to follow you and be kind. We love you. Christ is my prayer. Amen. Amen. Great.